Berylum Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello and welcome again to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And I just know, you sitting at home are a football punditry genius, an absolute guru. You get them right every week, don't you? All the results, all the goal scorers, all the correct results. Well, tell you what, tweet us at Verulam Sport and show us just how very good you are. Love to hear from you. Keep those tweets coming up, Verulam Sport. But here on Verulam Sports, we're really lucky because we've got our own punditry guru. It's the newest acquisition to the wonderful award-winning Verulam Sport team. It's the mighty Neil Stock. Neil, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. I'm really looking forward to doing the predictions for this coming week. It's been quite a funny up and down week for teams over the last week or so. So it is very, very interesting at the moment.
It's absolutely fascinating. I'll tell you what, I was chatting to Richard Walker, head of comms for Watford, as we're lucky to do pretty much every week. And he made a fascinating point, I thought, regarding the challenges of empty arenas. And in a minute, we're going to touch on Watford. But his point was that he feels as though Watford suffer, perhaps more than many other teams, without that fan support. He made a completely, I think, interesting juxtaposition when he compared the fan support and the community connection Watford can boast when it comes to their home support versus, say, for instance, Newcastle. Obviously, they play in a huge arena and they've got massive, passionate fans. But the Magpie fans, they are prone to show their frustrations and get on the team's back if things aren't going their way. And compare Watford's efforts so far in the return of the Premier League versus, for instance, Newcastle, who are playing with a much more kind of calm and almost relaxed approach. I think, Neil, that was quite an interesting point.
I think when you look at it, I think clubs like Watford, Southampton, Bournemouth, and if you go down the pyramid a little bit more than the likes of Portsmouth, as you saw from their home game in the playoffs on Friday, with the fans still getting involved, and you see pictures of like the stewards putting out the cardboard cutouts of who would have been sat in those seats, and it is quite a when it's that sort of level, like Watford, it is all about the community and the clubs, and the supporters are so close to the players. The pitch is that tight to the stadium, if that makes sense. It brings a whole different atmosphere to a game. Now, I noticed the change when Southampton were playing at the Dell, where it was that close, no matter what side of the pitch you're on, it was that close to the players. You could actually, if you like, you could touch the players, so to speak. But now, when you've got these big stadiums and they're moving into St Mary's Stadium, Southampton, it's a whole different world having, like, going from 11 to 15,000 in a ground up to 31,000. It's a whole different ball game, and it is really, really fascinating. And it can and it does upset the players because they're not used to it. They're not used to that big arena. They're used to their own fans being that much closer to them. And it is a very, Richard, I think, did make a good point there in the fact that community plays a massive part in football. And I know, obviously, you touched on Newcastle and the Magpies fans. They do get on the players' backs if things don't go right. They do like to make it known. But you can say that for other clubs as well, because other clubs are like that. But absolutely, they just do it in slightly different ways.
Absolutely. But as you say, it's been a very odd return to the Premier League. Again, Watford's performance, we will come to them in just one second, has been anything but stellar. Only 1 point in their games so far, and that required a bit of a special late in the day effort from the defender Dawson. But despite that, they remain at present out of the relegation zone, because teams around them, Bournemouth and Villa, quite simply are in the same scenario. We'll dwell on that. We'll come back to it. But just quickly, Neil, before we go back to the dogfight, or as Richard Walker referred to it, the bear sprint now for the survival places, have to get your quick appraisal on the champions, Liverpool. Klopp's men, what a season. Just simply magnificent. They've swept all before them and gained their first ever Premier League title. I know some people listening, they don't even believe football occurred before the inception of the Premier League. It did. Liverpool used to win it all the time. But you have to go back to 1990, 1991, before this very year, Klopp's men claim their very first Premier League title, their first since that 1990-91 season. What a campaign it's been. Briefly, Neil, your appraisal on Klopp's men and their accomplishments this season.
To be fair, they have had it sort of from the kickoff, really. It's been one of those seasons for them where nothing can go wrong, but on the side of the Premier League. But like you said, it has been a while since they last won it. They won their last title when it was the old Division One, and what they've done, they've swept all the teams aside. They have had a few stumbling blocks, but they had that momentum before those stumbling blocks occurred. So, and the sad thing about it all is that I feel, although they made up for it, as we've seen on the TV, the sad thing is that the supporters weren't in the stadium when that final whistle went and they won the Premier League. That is the sad thing about it. That's the only downside of Liverpool winning the title. But they certainly made up for it around Liverpool, forgetting lockdown and all that lot. They come out in their numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to draw a line there, because it's quite a topic. But I don't think really many people can begrudge a bit of a party atmosphere up in Scouseland after that hiatus between domestic league success. Congratulations, of course, from all at Verum Sport to everybody at Liverpool Football Club. What a campaign. For me, the emblem of it was this ability that all the great champions possess to eke out draws when it looked like defeat was on the cards, to turn narrow draws into late-minute winners. You look at it, we reference and debate, quote-unquote, Fergie time. Well, it's Klopp's era now. Goodness me, and what a season it's been. Tell you what though, coming back briefly to the battle at the bottom, the bear sprint, as Richard Walker refers to it, one of those stumbling blocks, of course, was Watford, who stunned them after I think it was a 44 consecutive unbeaten run. They were hunting down our own Jason McKenna's Gunners' efforts. I think their record stood at 49. But Watford got that wonderful win in front of fans, if you can remember that, at Vicarage Road. 3-0 that day. And I tell you what, they need to summon some of those memories and build, because time is drifting away. Just quickly, before we get on and unleash the Premier League predictions from our punditry guru, Neil Stark. Neil, quickly, your thoughts for the drop. Will Watford beat it?
Honestly, I think they will, because at the moment, even though they're not really picking up points as such. They might pick up the odd point here or there, but the teams below them and around them are losing as well. So it is in Watford's hands, really. One win and a draw, to be honest, I think might do it for them. But they've just got to be careful about those teams that could put in that last-minute sprint and just drop Watford into that bottom three, which I'm sure everybody listening don't really want that to happen. I don't want it to happen. Watford are a great club for the Premier League and they got some great fans. But if they do go down, I'm almost certain they will come back.
What I would say, I rather hope, irrespective of what happens, at least show faith in Pearson and Shakespeare, who, let's not forget, got them off to that wonderful start. They have drifted of late. But now, without further ado, let's get going. Thursday, July the 9th, and it is one of those teams also in this bear sprint at the bottom, a team without a win since returning. Bournemouth host Jose Mourinho's Spurs. Neil, your thoughts on that fixture?
I think Bournemouth do have, Bournemouth do have the ability in the side. But if you go back to the machine, what he was saying about the stats and how Bournemouth perform, they can score, but they let them in as well. So they need to work really hard to actually get anything from out of that Tottenham game. But I actually think Tottenham will come out on top of that one because Tottenham chasing down one of those European spots. So it's all to play for at the top. And I don't think there's too much to play for down the bottom, if that makes sense now. I think it's starting to look a bit clearer of what is likely to happen, with Norwich and Villa almost certainly gone. We're just sort of playing on that bottom spot, on that last spot, really.
Yeah, interesting point. I think there is only one point between Villa, Bournemouth and Watford, so it is going to be tense. Maybe that will inspire them, but you're going for an away win. Jose Mourinho won last game out, 1-0. He will look to replicate that against Bournemouth, and Bournemouth, of course, are one of those teams right in the mire. Moving on, though, now, Carlo Ancelotti's Everton have been one of those up-and-down teams, and they are taking on your Southampton, who looked very impressive indeed in their victory at Vicarage Road. Danny Ings bagging a brace that day, moving up to 18 goals in the Premier League, the second top scorer in the league. What a season for Ings. Will Ings inspire your Saints?
Well, I actually think I saw the highlights of the Man City game on Sunday, and Southampton, they showed a lot of quality and a lot of character as a unit. There wasn't like one out and out player, but Che Adams scoring his first senior goal for the club, which was good. And his first Premier League goal, of course. But Man City, they seemed a bit stop-start on Sunday. They didn't seem second-place team, if you like. They were stop-start all through the game. They had a few shots. De Bruyne had a good couple of shots saved. But as a unit, Southampton played really well. And if they carry that on to the last few games of the season, I think they'll cement their place in mid-table. So I reckon it's an away win.
Back-to-back with away wins predicted there from our punditry guru, Neil Stock. Moving on to a game which has implications both near the top and right at the bottom. Aston Villa hosting Man United. Man United, of course, on the cusp of Champions League places. We'll look to build on really good form since the return. Aston Villa need the points. They are in the relegation zone. Villa, Man United. Neil Stock, your thoughts?
I'm going to have to say Villa are going to have to put everything into that game. They're going to have to pull it out the bag. Just to get a point, they're going to really have to pull this out the bag. But my honest opinion is an away win again.
Three straight
away win for Man United.
for the July the 9th fixtures. Massive messages with implications for the relegation dogfight, or bear sprints, as Richard Wilker calls it. And I love that phrase. I think it's fabulous. Moving on then to Saturday, July the 11th. The game's coming thick and indeed fast. Norwich looked doomed, but not mathematically done and dusted. Host West Ham, who got an impressive victory last time out against Chelsea Blues. Before that, they were stuttering. Norwich, West Ham, your thoughts?
I think that Norwich are going to pick up a point out of that game. I think that's going to be a draw.
Interesting stuff there. They really need the points. Talking of which, so do Watford. They clash against, we've mentioned them already in this preview, Newcastle, devoid of those vitriolic fans. They are at Vicarage Road with no fans at all, of course. Watford, Newcastle, massive game with implications at the bottom. What's your thoughts for the Hornets in this one?
I think they're, to be honest, I think Watford are going to sneak a win out of that. I've got this feeling that Watford are just going to bag it in the last minute or so. So I reckon it's a home win, that one.
To the odds, I think a lot of people listening will appreciate that, should that prove to be the case. Moving on then, we go to champions Liverpool. We've mentioned them, we've given them praise as they richly deserve. They're taking on a team who have beaten Watford already this season. Sean Dyche has mended the double over Watford this campaign. Liverpool versus Burnley. Thoughts, please, Mr. Stock.
Liverpool have now won the league, so I think teams are going to come to Anfield and try and stop them getting that next milestone, which is that beating that Arsenal. I think it's the Arsenal number of wins tally. So I've got a funny feeling that Burnley could, on the day, I think Burnley could sneak it if Liverpool have a bit of a rest that day.
All things are possible. Again, Liverpool are champions. We give them praise as they richly deserve. But Neil predicts an away win for Sean Dyche's men in that fixture. Moving on. Sheffield United, they've stuttered a little bit of late, taking on Chelsea again, hunting down the crucial fourth spot. Fifth place gets Champions League possibilities. Fourth Champions League by rights. Chelsea are there at the moment. Sheffield United versus Chelsea. Neil Stock, what do you think is going to happen in this fixture?
A draw. That one will be a draw because they're all in and around the same place in the league and they're all playing for European football. So I do. I think that's going to end up a draw, that game.
Fantastic stuff. You mentioned Man City maybe looking a bit flat, maybe a bit deflated, having handed over the title. They are away against Brighton again on Saturday, July the 11th. What's your thoughts ahead of this fixture?
I do think Man City will win that game. I'm not sure how easy it will be for them against Brighton away, but I think Man City will come out on top. Because they've still got points to prove, Man City.
Yeah, I think Pep will necessarily have to evaluate his squad. There will be people coming and going, and some of those players will have a point to prove. Interesting points. I think you made them really well. Moving on then to Sunday, July the 12th. Wolves, much praise. They're having an unbelievably good campaign. At Molineux, they host Everton. We've touched upon them. Ancelotti's Everton are very hit and miss. Home win, or do you see something different in their Molineux clash?
I think Wolves will take that one. I think they'll win that, Wolves, to be fair. They've done well this season since they come up, so I do reckon a Wolves win.
Then another home fixture for Aston Villa. Again, they need the points. Taking on Crystal Palace, who are safe and sound. Congratulations to them. Aston Villa versus Crystal Palace, July the 12th. Neil Stock, what's your thoughts on that one?
I'm going to go with a draw for that game because Villa on their day can be a good side. Palace on their day, if Palace don't turn up, if you know what I mean, if Palace don't turn up to that game, if they come thinking it's going to be easy, if they go to Villa Park thinking that game's going to be easy, they're going to have a fight on their hands, to be honest, because Villa need the points. And with that being another step closer to the end of the season, Villa need to pull things out the bag. And I think, I do think Villa could win it if Palace think they're going to have an easy ride of it.
There's a last game there. Are you sticking with your original thought of a draw, or are you leaning slightly to a home win there?
Do you know, I think there's part of me says a draw, but I actually think that could be, I think that could be a Villa win, to be honest. A very, very, I think it's more going to be more a win than a draw, I think, actually, looking at it, the way Palace can play.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Crystal Palace very safe. Villa fighting for their very Premier League status. Interesting stuff. Having initially fought draw, having analysed it as he did brilliantly, Neil veers towards a win at Villa Park there. Moving on now to a massive fixture in any season. The North London Derby, Spurs, Jose's men, take on the resurgent Arsenal. We've been writing the Gunners off, but I'll tell you what, they've proven us wrong in recent weeks. Jason McKenna, the machine, our friend, will be happy they're on form. Will this be a turn-up for the form books, or do you see the Gunners continuing that strong momentum? Spurs, Arsenal, the North London Derby, July 12th. Neil, your prediction?
I think that one's going to be a draw. They're not going anywhere, really, either side. It's just a case of playing for pride and playing for position and hopefully a European spot. So I think that'll be a draw.
Often these big games play out along that pattern. Moving on then, we've mentioned the Cherries of Bournemouth. They have another home fixture. It's against the 2014 champions, Leicester City. Brendan Rodgers' men are in third. They're on a great run of form. They're battling for Champions League status next season. That would be phenomenal for them. Bournemouth versus Leicester. Neil, your prediction?
Away win.
Going away winning that fixture, which could, well, consign Bournemouth. We'll find out, of course. All of these are thoughts, and I know you've got thoughts, and I know you're a punditry guru. Get involved with us. Tweet at Verum Sports. Again, you get them right every week. I know you do. Go on, show us how good you are. Tweet at Verum Sport and get involved. Moving on then to Monday, July the 13th. And I've said it before, goodness me, their games just keep on going in this bare sprint for home. Man United versus your Southampton. A fixture I remember years ago for controversy over kit and all of that. Man United, Southampton, your thoughts?
That was that 6-3 win, wasn't it, Southampton and Man United moaning about the grey kit they were playing in?
Absolutely. I tell you what, it's one of the worst and most shoddy excuses for an absolute shellacking I've ever heard in my time. And I can just tell the recollection of that day, Neil, brings a smile to your face, which is great.
The funny thing about that, I think Man United were winning at half-time, if memory serves me correctly.
Do you know what? I can't bring the exact momentum of the game to get happen. I think there was all kinds of crazy things that did happen in the game. Certainly, it wasn't the great Dane Schmeichel's greatest hour, and he was a world-class performer. It was a great day, of course, for Southampton. Will they be able to replicate it on Monday, July the 13th? Go to the Theatre of Dreams. Man U chasing Champions League. Man U Southampton, July the 13th. Neil, your thoughts?
I'm going to stick my neck out, away win for that one. I'm going to go away win. Danny Ings again.
What a season Danny Ings has had. We've spoken about Verum Sport podcasting with you, Neil. But 18 goals, a brace against Watford. That first one after a lovely Maisie run and then a real nice sliding finish. What a campaign. I think he only got 7 the year before. He really has reminded everybody of what a talent he is this campaign.
But the thing that with Southampton is when they have a player like Danny Ings or any player you've seen over the seasons, they can perform extremely well. And then that price tag goes on them and everybody's looking, everybody's wanting a piece of what Southampton have got. And they never seem to be able to keep them at the club, which is a disappointing thing.
Yeah, we talked about that with West Ham, and I think I made this point to you recently. In a Champions League final, I think 2 years ago, Liverpool, I won Real Madrid. I counted, out of a starting 22, 5 starting ex-Saints at the Champions League final. I mean, it just goes to show that what Southampton do, identifying both through their local area or just their excellent scouting capacities, both here and abroad, their ability to identify talent, nurture it, and then obviously, you know, to continue being a force, then market values come in, the big boys come a-gunning, but it is credit to the continuum that has been this scouting effort from the Saints.
It's certainly something, they're doing something right there. It's just, I do think it's a shame that they can't, like, keep hold of these players for a good few seasons and then sort of build on it and try and win something and do something with it and move forward, maybe.
I think West Ham fans would echo that sentiment over the years, and I'm sure many other teams around. But we can't shy away from the fact that obviously business is business, and it is a business as much as it is a wonderful sport, and money talks. But talking now of the business on the pitch, moving to July the 14th, Chelsea at Stamford Bridge take on Norwich. Your thoughts on that one?
Definitely a home win.
See a comfortable home win on that one.
Yeah, I think Chelsea, I think, will be comfortable with that. I don't think Norwich will get anything out of that. They've got a lot of work to do if they're going to, I think it's not mathematically certain that they're down, but I don't think, with all the will in the world, I don't think they will survive now. I think it's gone a few games too far for them, unfortunately. So I do think it's going to be a Chelsea win.
Yeah, I think that's a real fair appraisal. Wednesday, July the 15th, Burnley at home at Turf Moor, taking on Wolves. We've praised Wolves. We praised Sean Dyche's men too. July the 15th, it's a Turf Moor fixture. Burnley, Wolves, your thoughts?
I think two mid-table teams, I think, pretty much. I think that one's going to end a draw, really. They're not... Both teams are safe. Both teams are... It's just a case now that they're playing for money places, really, if that makes sense, in the league. It's just a good old end-of-season game, really. I think that could... I think it'll be a draw, but it could go either way, really. There's nothing really that I can see that's going to change if either side win that game or if there's a draw. But I think I'm comfortably set on that one to be a draw, to be totally honest.
Yeah, I can see that playing out likewise. Moving on, Man City versus Bournemouth, the next game on Wednesday, July the 15th.
Well, if Man City don't turn up to the Etihad, I think Bournemouth could get something out of that. If it goes the way the game went at St Mary's on Saturday with Man City, if they're still sort of drowning their sorrows sort of thing with the loss of the Premier League and handing over the reins to Liverpool... If they're still in that mindset, then, and if Bournemouth still have a chance by then, Bournemouth could pull it out of the bag.
Are you going away win then, based on that?
I think I'm going to go an away win. Yes, I think I will. On Man City's play at St Mary's the other day, they seem, as I said earlier, they seem really, really flat. There was an odd spark from De Bruyne and a few others on the pitch. There was the odd spark, but I think everything seems to have drained out of them. And I think if Bournemouth do have that slight glimmer of hope, and if their players are on form and they're defending well and Man City aren't really powering towards that goal, then Bournemouth could just snatch it right at any moment because they are good on the break. So I reckon they could just slide one in behind and then they're away, sort of thing. I do think it's going to be an odd goal in it, but I do think Bournemouth do stand a really, really good chance, especially if it's going to be that make or if it could be that make or break game which takes them out the bottom three.
Interesting stuff. It's been a very strange campaign for Pep's men. As we've said before, very, very hard to win three consecutive Premier League titles, which was what they were going for. Clearly, that's now no longer possible. Liverpool are champions. They've handed over the baton. Will they be able to build next season, or will this odd malaise continue? That's a question for another day. Moving on, though, it's still Wednesday, July the 15th. Newcastle at St. James Arena. But, of course, no. Take on Spurs, Newcastle versus Spurs, July the 15th. Neil?
I think that's going to be a Tottenham win. I think going away win there. There's not a lot I can really say on that game. It's a bit like the Burnley Wolves game, really. They're all safe. It's just jostling for those final spots, really.
Yep, no, I can see that.
I do think it'll be a Spurs win, but it's just going to be they're just playing for those final places.
The final game of Wednesday, July the 15th, is Arsenal hosting Liverpool. Ordinarily, that's one of the flagship games of the season. But with Liverpool, obviously, we've alluded to and we've praised already champions, maybe having fair enough reason to take the foot off the pedal. Arsenal, of course, a resurgent, still dreaming of Europe next season. Arsenal versus Liverpool, July the 15th. Neil, your prediction?
With Liverpool winning the title, which automatically places them in Europe anyway, as I said previously, they're only playing for records at the moment. They're Arsenal have got something serious still to play for. So at home, I think Arteta could have that one. Liverpool coming.
You're predicting home win in that one at the Etihad.
Home win, nice. for Arsenal.
Moving on to Thursday, July the 16th, and if we could do this now, almost a rapid fire round style-y. Everton versus Aston Villa.
Home win.
Everton win that one. Leicester versus Sheffield United.
Draw.
Go and draw. Crystal Palace versus Man United.
Away win
for Solskjaer's United. Then it's your Southampton hosting Brighton, Thursday, July the 16th. Quick thought.
Good old local derby, as you call it now. I think that's going to be a home win, although those games, they just go either way. But behind closed doors, I do think it'd be a home win because you haven't got the fans on your back.
Fair dues. And then the final one that we're going to put under the microscope, Neil, I really appreciate your predictions. And as I say, out there listening, I know you are a punditry guru. Do tweet your views at Random Sport. Love to hear from you always. It is your show, every single bit, as much as it is ours. Tweet at Random Sport. Keep involved. And the final fixture for Neil to preview, Friday, July the 17th, West Ham versus Watford.
That is a make or break. If Watford are on their game, West Ham in that big empty stadium, Watford have got nothing to lose really going into that game. If things go their way, they, however you look at it, they've got nothing to lose. So if they throw everything at it, I think and away win.
Could be crucial. We'll find out. Neil, for now, I'm grateful for your time and your input. I think you've made some wonderful points, as you always do. Thank you very much for that. And thank you very much for listening. Continue to get involved with us. Tweet at Burnham Sport. Not only your Premier League predictions, your Premier League thoughts, but everything to do with sports. If you're involved in sport, you've got a great story to tell and you'd like us to interview, you'd love to hear from you. Tweet at Verulam Sport. Keep involved. Keep enjoying what we do. Make sure you're listening on Friday. It's going to be a great podcast where we analyse what we're calling the Mount Rushmore of sport. Four sports stars, transcendent of their time and space. No, again, you've got massive views on that one. Tell you what, some massive names, some giants of the sporting arena, all time, are not going to feature. They may feature on yours, though. I'm sure you've got wonderful views on this. Your Mount Rushmore Sport. Tweet us at Verulam Sport. For now, thank you for listening. Keep involved. All the best.